I can teach you how to create memory care in your own home using the same techniques the pros are trained to use and get even better results.
You are listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness, your number one resource for practical tips and insights, empowering you and your family to live well with Alzheimer's. Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. I'm Mike Good of Togetherness. My goal is always to empower you to maintain a positive experience, reduce and eliminate the need for medications, and make your time together with those you care for the best it can be. Over the last few episodes, we've been discussing professional memory care, and last week we discussed how moving a loved one into memory care doesn't have to be an inevitable outcome of dementia. In this episode, Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, and I kick off a discussion on bringing the elements of memory care into your home. This discussion will be based off of Christy's Memory Care at Home workshop. Christy has run award-winning memory care communities in assisted living and skilled nursing levels of care. She's a certified dementia practitioner, certified dementia care unit manager, and cognitive stimulation instructor. Using her 16 years of experience in working with over 1,200 people living with dementia and their families, she's developed a system that helps families move from crisis management to confidence. Well, hello, Christy, and welcome back to the Alzheimer's Podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm delighted to be here.
I'm delighted to have you as well. So, Christy, last week we discussed how to avoid memory care, and which was another great episode, I believe, and receiving good feedback on. Now, this week, we're going to talk about your workshop, Memory Care at Home, which I think has to be essential to helping people avoid memory care, but I guess I'm going to learn about that. So would you go ahead and just please start off by giving us a summary about what the workshop's about?
I will, but first I'd like to throw in this disclaimer for listeners that are like, should I even listen to this? Don't worry, it's not an infomercial, okay? So don't freak out.
Right.
But it's going to be kind of like, hey, that sounds interesting. That's some good info. So stay with us. So the workshop is called Memory Care at Home. And what happened was I was at home one day and, you know, thinking about dementia, which I spend a lot of time doing. And what I'm always thinking about is how can I make life better for families that are supporting a person living with dementia, right? What can I do? And I was thinking about an experience that I had years ago when I worked in an elder law attorney's office and I was doing case management for him because he had seen a gap between, and this was in California where it's fairly easy to qualify for Medicaid, or at least it was then. And so he had seen a big gap between, you know, people coming in and saying, oh, you know, my parent has dementia and they're going to need Medicaid to pay for long-term care. And so he'd go, okay, and he'd get them qualified for that. But in California, Medicaid only pays for the highest level of care. It doesn't pay for an assisted living level of care. And if you want to be more confused about levels of care, go back and listen to an episode from a few weeks ago because we confused ourselves. But anyway, he saw a gap between when people qualified to go into long-term care and what their needs were in the moment. Right? Because they already needed assistance. They needed help. They needed support, but they didn't qualify to live in a place that offered all of that. So that's why he brought me on. And I was just thinking, you know, all the time I see families that are kind of, you know, when they get to that place where they feel like they do need professional help and they come in with that kind of, you know, shoulder slumped, feeling defeated, kind of, you know, all over their persona. Like, well, I don't know that my mom's ready for memory care, but things are so hard. And they start describing all of these problems, which definitely I can help them with. But I was just thinking, this is so dumb, Christy. Why don't you just like throw this out there instead of waiting for people to just like, I have this problem that's exploding. Just put it out there. Like, hey, guess what? I'm a former memory care director. I've worked with over 1,200 people living with dementia and their families. I can teach you how to create memory care in your own home using the same techniques the pros are trained to use and get even better results. And so that's how the Memory Care at Home workshop was born.
Even better results at home. So I'm really intrigued now. So that's awesome, because I just picture a memory care community having all the support staff and all the systems in place, and to be able to bring that into the home, it's going to be quite exciting. Now, so Christy, one clarification I want to ask though, is the workshop, are you doing that, you're doing that locally, or is that online?
So I have one scheduled in Clackamas and in Beaverton, which are local to where I live in the Pacific Northwest. And then there's been some interest in other parts of the country. So I'm thinking about a roadshow for 2019. But then also, funny you should mention, Mike, I was thinking maybe it needs to be like a home study kind of, you know, where I put together something where people can, you know, no matter where they live, they can access the content and learn this stuff. Because I really think it's good stuff. Obviously, I put it together. I think it's good stuff.
Exactly.
But it comes from 17 years of experience. So right. I'm not tone deaf to what people want and tell me they need.
Right. And so for our listeners out there, if you're a professional looking for somebody to come give a workshop and you've been listening, then you know Christy's going to be great for you. If you're a family member at home and you might be interested in what she's talking about there, reach out to her and let her know you have interest, because it's so hard. It is very hard being behind a computer monitor and not really knowing what people really want and need. I mean, Christy has really good insight into that, but when we hear it from you in person, via email or a comment on an article, it really goes a long ways for us. So
that's absolutely true. And I'm very blessed with the members of the Dementia Sherpa tribe, because I typically get 5 to 10 emails a week, which to you all may not sound like very much, but I promise you, for somebody, and I'm sure Mike will agree, for somebody in our position, that's huge.
Yes.
Because most people will hear something and like you could be listening to a podcast episode and like cheering us along and going, that's right. And oh, I love this. I'm going to share it with a friend and whatever. And we'll never hear from you, which is not what it's about, right? It's not about our ego, but just so everybody knows, we take your feedback very seriously. You're really important to us.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Christy, let's hear what you have to say on how people can, have memory care in their home.
One thing that I did want to mention is kind of going back to where'd this come from, and then us talking about how important our listeners and our readers are, is this really came from, I was talking to one of my tribe members in Wisconsin a few weeks ago. And she was like, you know, Christy, I'm right there with you. And I love how you talk about memory care, but I got to tell you, you make it sound awesome. And she was talking about, I had been talking about my experiences as a memory care director and the favorite memory care I ever ran, and it had won awards, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, no such thing exists in this state. Where do you find this mythical thing?
Okay.
And I was like, oh. And then I really started thinking about it and some experiences that I've seen in various memory cares in probably the last 7 years or so. And I think that, and this is why I say, and get even better results than if your person lives in a memory care community. And I could go on a soapbox moment here and I won't, but I think things have changed in memory care. And I think at this point, in my opinion, based on what I've seen in the people I'm working with, I think that you're always going to have a more vested interest in seeing that your person is A-OK and number one on a priority list than if they're living in a community, right? So that's not taking anything away from people living in memory care communities or saying that memory care communities are bad. It's just a different perspective. So does that make sense?
Yeah. Right. Well, you know them better. You love them more. You bring that to the table. And if you can learn the skills and techniques it takes to succeed, for lack of better words, when caring for a loved one with dementia, then it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah. So, and I always say this to families, my guess is right now I'm probably the person who knows more about dementia than anybody who's listening. And so I'll say I'm the dementia expert, but this is a really important, but every single listener is the expert on their person. They know more about their person than I could ever know. They are the expert on their person. And so it's really fusing those two things where memory care at home really starts to take shape and make sense. So when we go into it, I know that you care about your person. You're the expert on your person. You're trying to figure out how can I best support? How can I best help? What can I do? And so the people who come to the workshops are already, I can tell they're kind of a different breed of cat, right? Because a lot of people just kind of go, well, this is a bad thing that's happening. That's too bad. And, I guess we'll see what happens. And kind of, they're not very proactive. So people who come to the workshops are very proactive. And they care a lot. And so we just start by looking at like, what's happening in your person's brain? Why do they do the things they do? And people are typically shocked. Even people who consider themselves pretty well educated on dementia are really surprised with oh my gosh, I didn't know all that was involved too. So we go through that and then we look at, and I think to me, this is the key thing, is using your superpower. And I always tell people, you know what? I have a ton of good information for you. I mean, my goodness, the workbook for the workshop is like 95 pages, right? So I have a ton of good information for you. But if you don't remember anything else, if you just tune out the rest of the day and you only catch one thing, catch this. And that is, you have a superpower and it's so important that you use it. So that's kind of, I would say that's kind of the emotional beating heart of the whole day, is really looking at your superpower and how do you use that and what effect does that have?
And that superpower is?
I was hoping you'd ask.
Oh, good. I thought maybe I was slacking and missed it.
No, I thought we were going to have a drum roll. So your superpower is the ability to step into the moment with your person. And the reason I call it a superpower, because you may be listening going, is that really a big deal? I tell these two stories, and actually I was telling this story the other day to in front of a live audience, and I started crying, which is the first time that's ever happened. Usually I get emotional when I'm telling it, but it just really hit me that day. And it resonated. But when you can step into a moment with a person who is terrified, who is upset, and let them know that they're safe, that you're there for them, that you've got them, You are literally manipulating their reality. You are changing it for them in that moment. And if that's not a superpower, I don't know what is. So the story I was telling the other day, and I don't know, I may have told it on the podcast before, but it's a really powerful story. So when I was a fairly new memory care director, I had a resident who had survived the Holocaust, and she had just moved in, and about 4 o'clock came around and she started clawing at the door. And she was so upset, right? She was screaming. She had to get out of there. And we're trying to figure out what's going on. And she told us she needed to get to the rendezvous point to meet her parents and her sister. because they had to get out or they weren't going to live. So this was literally a matter of life and death. And too often, what staff will do, or what even we as family members do, because we're not really stepping into that moment, we're not really being present in that moment. So too often what happens is somebody is told, there's nothing to worry about, you're fine, everything's okay. No, we're here in Beaverton right now. Oh, that happened a long time ago. You're safe. You got out, whatever. And how that comes across is very dismissive. And if you think about for yourself a time in your life when you were just like livid, really upset about something or really angry, and somebody told you to just calm down, that has the opposite effect, right? You can feel your blood pressure going up. And it is the same for somebody living with dementia. When we do this for anybody, where they're telling us and they're showing us that they're in serious emotional distress, and we brush it off as no big deal, as something that's not worth taking seriously, we escalate the situation. And when situations escalate, if that happens often enough, this is a barrier to people being at home, to staying at home. Because if the care partner isn't sure what to do and their person is having catastrophic reactions, that's not a tenable situation. Of course, they're going to feel like they need support and their person needs to live in a memory care community. You know, that anybody would think that, because that can be really distressing, not just for the person who's having a catastrophic reaction, but for anybody who's witnessing it. It can be very frightening. So using your superpower is stepping into that moment. And in the case of this woman, we were able to call her daughter. God bless this woman. She had she had taught her daughter German. So her daughter posed as her own grandmother, talked on the phone to her mom in German, and said, you know, we need you to stay there. You're safe there. The three of us are together. You're in a safe place. They're going to take care of you. They're going to hide you. And we'll come get you in the morning.
Wow, that's powerful.
That's really huge. And for me, you know, my mistake, right, was that I was so inexperienced at the time that I didn't pick up on the signs of what was leading up to this moment. So if I had it to do over again, you know, I would be much more tuned in to, okay, if this happens at 4 o'clock, we're going to make sure that she is engaged in something creative, right, at 3:30, and that she is surrounded by people who care for her and that she's feeling safe and secure, and never let that moment happen in the first place. But so that's why I call it using your superpower, stepping into that moment with your person. And so that too is why I call it the emotional center of the whole thing. And so we do that. And then we also look at, you know, kind of what is your plan?
Christy?
Yes.
Before we move on away from that, I think there's a key piece of how you can bring that successful element of memory care into any, whether it's a professional community or your home, is that you have to pay attention. You have to, if this emotion happens or this behavior communication happens recurringly, you know, we want to maybe be logging that or finding the trend so that we can put systems in place. As you mentioned, you know, if it happens at 4 o'clock every day, we want to have her, you know, some activity for her or something. But I think it's important for our care partners to become that, people call it a dementia detective, and if you have to write it down on a daily basis, write it down so you can see the trends. But something may be triggering these emotions, right? Something may be that we can remove or avoid.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Because we want people to have good days. And nobody, of course, wants to, you know, any of us want to relive a traumatic experience. And for people living with dementia, sometimes that is beyond their control, you know, choosing to go back there in their head or not. It's just, you know, where their brain takes them. And again, when we can manipulate the environment, absolutely, we can affect a different outcome. Very important. And I think there's that fine line too between, you know, sometimes we think, well, you know, it's another full grown adult and, you know, they're watching TV. They seem, you know, happy to be watching I Love Lucy or whatever it is. And they're okay. And I can, you know, do laundry and mop the floor and, you know, all of those types of things. And depending on where your person is in the process and what they're doing and what you're doing. And, you know, a lot of times that will be okay. But then there are a lot of times that won't be okay. The flip side is not to kind of sit across from your person and be watching them like you're a scientist,
right?
You know, observing them in a lab on the other side of the mirror, but just being kind of more attuned to them in the way that you would be more attuned to a very young family member, right? Because they sometimes will do things that you wouldn't necessarily predict. So you're going to want to be more attuned into where they are in the home and what they're doing and kind of anticipating what their needs are and meeting them without them necessarily needing to ask.
Right. And part of that superpower was that the family member, as you've mentioned, they know their loved one better than anyone. So,
yes.
You know, you as the professional, you know, after it happened, sure, then you know she was a Holocaust survivor, but maybe not at first. You may not have had that insight to what was going on. And that's just another key thing for our family members to remember, is that, you know, they know their loved one better.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And to families, I would just say, you know, please, I know that, you know, in families, we have privacy, right? And it can feel intrusive when a professional is asking you about significant events. You know, if your person is living in a memory care community, or maybe you've hired a home care agency to come, you know, provide care, and they're asking you these questions about social history and significant events. And I know a lot of times when I was a memory care director, I had families say things like, well, you know, I'd ask about parents and siblings. Oh, you know, they died a long time ago, and kind of brush it off like it's not that important. And the thing is, because we can't predictably with any degree of accuracy predict where somebody's going to go in the course of the day, right? In their head, if somebody is getting very upset because they desperately need to get to their parents and their sister, you telling me, oh, they passed away a long time ago, is not helpful to me. And so, like in this woman's case, you know, she desperately needed to get to her parents and her sister. Why?
Right.
Okay. Now this, and I get that it's not necessarily pleasant to talk about to somebody who's kind of essentially a stranger to you, but that's the why. It's not out of just nosiness or idle curiosity. It's so that we can step into a moment with someone and much more quickly bring them relief, bring them safety, bring them a feeling of security, bring them to peace, instead of watching them suffer and desperately trying to figure out what's going on. So those things, you know, and I know that parents don't always tell their kids everything. And I've had many a person tell me things that their kids knew nothing about. But that's why it's so important to kind of sometimes shift the lens and look at your parent who's living with dementia, or even your spouse who's living with dementia, as this is a whole human being who had a life, you know, before you knew them, and stuff happens.
Christy, you started to talk about planning being a key element of memory care at home, and we did go into pretty good depth last week, but if you want to touch on that, please go ahead.
So there's the kind of the general overall plan of, you know, what outcome are you hoping for? Do you want your person to be at home with you through the whole process, or will at some point they live in a memory care community? So there's that plan for sure. And, you know, the last week's episode was fantastic and really kind of talking about that. But more specifically, and I think that people really seem to enjoy this part, is what's your plan for the day?
Oh, okay.
So if your person is at home with you, or maybe they're still living independently and they're a few blocks away or whatever it is, what's your plan for the day? How do you have a great day with your person? And what does that require? And it, yes, sorry to tell fly by the seat of your pants folks out there, but it does require a plan. It doesn't have to be deep, detailed, involved, but just kind of having some predictability for both of you is a really big deal. And it makes such a big difference in the experience of the day for both of you. So we talk about how to have an awesome day, how to create those, and not only just create it one time, but how do you keep repeating that? How do you create one awesome day after another? And so that's, I think, where people have just really a lot of fun and their creativity can really come out. So yeah, that's kind of our experience.
That's great advice. I forgot about having a daily plan. And it's kind of funny because I actually have templates in Excel on togetherinthis.com for families to put together daily plans, and they're pretty simplistic. So if you're an Excel geek or you like to just print out a calendar, I'll put a link on the show notes for that as well.
That's really, you know, what we're looking at is just how do you pull all these various elements together and use these, again, you know, things that the pros are trained to use, these techniques that the pros are trained to use. And I kind of glossed over communication and behavior, you know, and we all know, all of our listeners know, the Together in This folks know, the Dementia Sherpa folks, we all know that behaviors is just a filthy word for communication we don't enjoy, right?
Right.
So we talk about really effective ways to communicate and beyond words and energy and approaches and techniques and all that kind of stuff. And then we talk about communication that we may not enjoy and why does that happen and what's behind it and how do we kind of, you know, nip that in the bud and have a good experience.
Right. And so a key piece of memory care at home has to be training, has to be that educational element, I have to assume.
Yeah, because, you know, again, anybody who comes to a memory care at home workshop, I know that this is what they want, right?
Right.
So they're already clear on what their desire is. Now they just need the skills. And sometimes it's a little mindset shift too. You know, you may be feeling like, yeah, I would love to be able to do that, but behaviors, but I don't understand what they want, but what do we do day to day? But, you know, and so it's getting past the but. What's really going on here? Let's figure it out. And then you can move forward. So yeah, it's always, for me, it's a ton of fun because the people who come are right there with me. I know this is what they want. So it's fun to be able to kind of walk them down that path of, this is how you get there.
So, Christy, as we wrap up today's episode, are there some final tips or suggestions you'd like to share with the audience out there?
I would just say, and this is something that I just kind of hammer on all the time, but since we touched on it briefly on so-called behaviors, communication we don't enjoy, right? A lot of times you'll be told that the best thing to do is to add some medication. So maybe add some medication to stop your person from getting up during the night, or add some medication when your person seems anxious at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, or add some medication because your person is doing X, Y, or Z, all of these things. And I would just, again, remind and encourage families that there are great ways to manage these so-called behaviors without adding medication. And you will, when you learn these techniques, you will get better results than you would with these medications. So don't want to go off on a whole tangent about that, but I think that that's just always a really important reminder. And just, I would invite everyone to remember that you have a superpower and you can use it to maximize your person's quality of life and yours too.
So Christy, as you have reminded our audience before, is you're not going to try to do all this at once. It's a process. You need, and as I like to tell people, you need to just learn a little bit every day, whether that's just read one article or you know, listen to one podcast, or you know, just get a little bit every day and learn, because that education is a key piece of this memory care at home, because without it, you're not going to be able to be successful at it. But with that in mind, also reach out to Christy. Get on DementiaSherpa.com, join her newsletter, because I believe, Christy, that you keep your tribe updated via your newsletter on upcoming workshops and other opportunities you may be offering. Is that true?
I do. So the tribe gets a weekly newsletter that has information on the workshops, like you said, and then other places if I have public events. And also, there's always a link to an amazing podcast. and then typically there's a new blog post every week. So it's on, you know, various topics related to dementia. So,
and you have some incredible resources that you've put together on your homepage. For instance, users can sign up for your communication guide, which I would highly recommend all of you, if you haven't, you go there, you get that guide and print it out and put on your coffee table so you can read it at your, you know, your leisure, or your family can read it and start, you know, and continue your educational process.
Well, I love that advice. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. I'll just add to that, as important as educating yourself is and gaining knowledge. Here I'm like that little angel tapping you on the shoulder. Practice what you learn. That's really what makes the difference.
True. All right. Well, Christy, thanks again for another wonderful episode. And I look forward to talking with you again next week.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This concludes our conversation with Christy Turner, the Dementia Sherpa, right here on the Alzheimer's Podcast, your number one source for practical tips and insights. Next week, Christy and I will continue our discussion on ways to keep your loved one at home longer, safer, and happier. This discussion will be based on my signature course, Adapting Your Home for Dementia, where I discuss four elements of a dementia-friendly home, beginning with safety. And if you want to see the show notes for this episode with all the mentioned resources and for a link to Christy's website, go to togetherinthis.com/episode47. Thank you, and I hope you drop by next week. Bye-bye. You've been listening to The Alzheimer's Podcast with Mike Good of Togetherness. For more information and to get the resources mentioned in this episode, visit togetherinthis.com/podcast.